Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris. And look, over the years of being an entrepreneur in the world, I've become somewhat of an expert in the field of personal branding. I started off my career collecting stamps at the age of 14 and holding a stamp collecting a day at my house in the garage with beautiful antique stamps laid out all over the tables and my stamp collection album and the stamps that I wanted to trade or presented, and nobody turned up. It was a heartbreaking day for me, and I went back to school on the Monday having promoted that throughout my high school like a total dick and felt really, really stupid. That flipped me into a more and more car theft, which I developed a personal brand for. I was really good at it, and if anybody wanted a joyride, they would meet me at night, and I'd steal any car they wanted. I was good at that, and take them for a fairly hair-raising drive up and down footpaths and through trees and out to the bush and goodness knows what. And I got a really strong sense of who I was by doing that, and that was my personal brand. But I felt really bad about myself. And then I migrated into the world of break and enter into shops. And so at night I would steal from pharmacies and all sorts of things, and I'd have a checklist of what people needed. Predominantly the more senior students wanted condoms, but there were other things that I took. And by the time I was about 15 years old, I guess, I was heading in a direction, and my personal brand was really strong at school. I carried a knife, as most people did at the school that I went to, and I wore the Beatles boots and goodness knows what. And yeah, personal branding to me was pretty important. I wore the clothes. My father wouldn't let me cut my hair the way I wanted it, and he wouldn't let me wear the clothes that I wanted, so I stole them and hid them in vacant blocks of land in plastic bags under rocks, and goodness knows what went on. And there was a time that I had colleagues and mates who sort of admired me, and we were all part of a little collective team or a group or a thug group or whatever you want to call it. And we started getting pushback from other groups and identities of bad people, bad kids, and being chased, and one of the group of mine got beaten with a baseball bat to the point of he never talked or walked again, and another one shot somebody with a shotgun and blew his head off, and he went away and he never got seen again, and the good old Doug. And things started to happen, and I didn't realize, I guess, with my branding and my trajectory that the end result could be so harmful. And I didn't even ever think twice about being caught. I was very good at what I did, but when I started to see people get caught and go to reform school and drop out of high school and get kicked out of their homes, and in the case of Dougie, go to jail for the rest of his born days, I assume, I had to make a U-turn in personal branding, and I did it by turning to athletics, and I became superhero athlete, and I bought some weights and started building my muscles up in the backyard, and I became a highly accomplished 400 meter runner and started to perform really well in football. Injuries ended that game, but in the process of doing that, I found a girlfriend who liked the straight me rather than the bent one, but she also liked the fact that I'd been bent and was reformed. And so I became head prefect of my high school the next year, and went on to fail high school academically because I'm dyslexic and the English exam was compulsory to pass. But I got really good scores in most other things. I think I got a 90 something percent in math and something else in science. So, you know, personal brand, it shows you that you can turn it on a dime, and as long as you walk the talk, you live the reality and you succeed in the area that you brand yourself, that's fine. But if you fail in the area you brand yourself, that's not fine. So after high school finished, I obviously, as a failed high school graduate, I was not even, it wasn't even possible for me to apply to a university. And so I got a job as an engineer's assistant at the Electricity Commission of Victoria. And this was a promising career that if I studied for 4 years at night school, which the Electricity Commission paid for in Collingwood, and I did the training program, I would end up being an engineer's assistant for the Electricity Commission of Victoria. Wonderful job, very secure, very strong. And I sort of threw myself into it. I started working on my cars, and I bought and sold cars on the side, and I bought surfboards and ocean kayaks and racing kayaks. And really, because I had a fairly easy, what you would call an easy job, I had a really incredible sport life. And it wasn't long into that that I met my to-be wife. I was 18 and a half years old. She was 17 years and 9 months. We waited a few weeks, and then she moved into my derelict premises and my beautiful panel van, and off we went surfing every weekend and scuba diving, and we made the most of our junior life. But you can see, even with all this and what was going on, you can see how even that became a brand. And I was determined to be successful at it. I worked very hard to be a good engineer's assistant. And by the way, that wasn't very hard to do. I actually got more punished in the Electricity Commission of Victoria for working hard than for not. For example, one area which was called meters and tests, I was in a room with 40, 50 other people, and we were sitting there looking at those things that go round and round at your front door. And all of those have to be tested and certified and stamped and sent out to be installed. And I got, I think, 20 done in my first day, and the limit was 5. And so I got really, really told off by everybody in the building that, that you know, and they rejected all my work on the basis that I'd done too many, and that would set a standard of hard work for everyone. So I bought this, at that point I realised the branding of me as an engineer's assistant wasn't going to work. And I started formulating bit by bit plans about becoming a super surfy. I started rowing. I started all sorts of different things on the side to try and find something that would rebrand me and something that I like to be. Along the way, I started, and before I met my wife-to-be, I dated Anne. And Anne was a very sophisticated, highly educated, going through university young lady that I had met during high school and had a smooch with, but nothing more. And somehow we connected in these years, in this first 6 months after failing high school, and she said that I should apply to universities as a mature student. So she wrote all the applications, she put the applications into the universities, and lo and behold, by the end of the first year working for the Electricity Commission of Victoria, I'd been accepted into Swinburne Tech, probably at the time the lowest college in Victoria, in the field of electrical engineering, of which I had absolutely no interest. They switched me into mechanical, and in mechanical I started working on air pollution control. And this is where my whole rebranding is absolutely exemplifies the fact that, you know, when I was I remember it clearly, when I was 14 and being a ruffian in the world, I found a book by a guy called Paul Ehrlich, and it was about planetary conservation, about how we were ruining the world and how the consumption of food and how we couldn't feed everybody, and if we kept growing at this rate, we would destroy the planet. And this is way back. I mean, I'm seriously saying this is the 70s. So I really loved that book, and I was absorbed, and it actually contradicted everything that I was about. And it sort of the meat eating, the and so it was a really instrumental read that got me into a little bit of yoga, got me into a little bit of meditation at the time, and started me reading books by like Ram Dass on Be Here Now and all these sorts of way, way back hippie books. And so all of a sudden at the end of this, I'm 19 years old or 18 and a half years old, all of a sudden I'm accepted into uni. All of a sudden I'm going to be doing mechanical engineering, and which I had no real ambition for. I really wanted to do something else. But all of a sudden I was able to integrate the environmental engineering side of it, which is what I'd really been passionate about deeply down all the way through those 5 or 6 years since I read the book. And I suddenly turned that, took the course in mechanical, but 100% studied environmental. All the engineering was about airflow, air pollution control, and what have you. And I wrote papers and did patents, and I patented the world's first hot air scrubbing system, and sold it, and worked for a pollution control company. And so the problem with all this story is, in my upbringing as a 14-year-old kid, I wore the clothes that matched what I was doing. I was a thug. I wore thug clothes. I carried a knife. When I passed through it, became a sports person, I started wearing sporty clothes, and I emulated that. When I started working as an engineer's assistant in the Electricity Commission, it was safety boots and sort of like a uniform from the Electricity Commission. And then I go to uni, and there's no uniform. It's as free as you want. This is when the Vietnam War was about. It's as free as you want. And I branded myself internally because I loved air pollution control, but externally, it was really hard to find a groove. And so I started racing cars. I bought a trashed a Cortina and built a GP500 rally car, and started to race that in amateur racing, and with the hope of building it up into professional life. And so I think I'm not going to take you all through the rest of my born days, but what I think is really important to recognize here is everybody on earth is looking for a brand. Everybody is wanting to brand themselves. It's an irony that it's such a strange word to throw out there and say branding. It's like it's some weird or foreign concept. It's almost as weird as going to India meditating. I'm going to rebrand myself. But personal branding is really important because it marries the external world with the internal world. And so I think really it's important part of any personal development quest that we go on is to start working on personal branding. Now, what is personal branding? It basically involves presenting ourselves authentically to the world. Now, in any book written on presenting ourselves to the world, they will talk about the Blink concept, the book Blink by, what's his name? I can't remember his name straight off the top of my head, but the book Blink says, in a blink, we judge and we get an opinion about something or somebody, and that other person then spends the rest of their born days trying to change that blink perception if it was wrong. And so personal branding, presenting oneself authentically to the world, also involves authenticity of knowing who oneself is before we present ourselves to the world. So there's no use presenting a false front. People, that doesn't work. It doesn't last. What people say, I'm going to present myself as a sophisticated person. But then you see them sitting in the back of the movie theater, picking their nose and chewing it. So you get what I mean. The sense of authenticity is the root of personal branding. So if one If personal branding encompasses how others perceive our identity, values, and story, we must know our personal identity, values, and story. And I think leaving it, once you know your personal values, identity, and story, once you know that, then it becomes a really important exercise to make sure you express that. You express it in the clothes you wear, you express it in the way you drive, you express it in the way you talk, you express it in the environment you create, you express it in the shoes you wear, in the doctor you choose, you express, and in the restaurants you go to, you express your personal brand externally, but it's not inventing your personal brand, it's walking your talk, it's bringing it out. And so most importantly is this concept of authenticity. So how we market ourselves to the world is an integral part of personal branding. The journey of personal branding begins and must include self-discovery and authenticity, otherwise it won't work. So utilizing when we go on social media and utilizing social media effectively is crucial for personal branding, but as fraudulent as we can make it in on the internet and on social media, eventually we have to deliver the goods. We have to be the person we say we're being. Now, we can be anyone we want on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. We can be anyone. We can show happy faces when we're really depressed. We can show a skinny foot when we're as fat as an elephant, or we can show an elephant when we've got an eating disorder. We can change the perception of the world on our social media. But at the end of the day, we've got to deliver the goods. We've got to add value in real terms. Now, unless your business is an influencer where your influence is done through social media, in other words, you're selling clothes or something that is behind is in front of a camera. Usually our delivery of whatever we deliver involves some of us. We have to put ourselves on a camera and we have to talk real. We have to be the person we are. And if that doesn't marry with the social media perception, there's going to be a big problem. And this is something that needs to be identified with kids, because it is too easy to present a personal brand on media and not be able to live that personal brand off it. So it starts with authenticity. It starts with self-awareness. It starts with identity, values, and story. And when you get the narrative of your life right, then it's time to do your personal branding. So personal branding requires identifying your core values and, most importantly, your desired legacy. We call this in a wealth work, we call it your life purpose, a sense of what are you going to leave behind, and how does your branding, personal branding, secure you that proposition? How do you leave a legacy through your brand? And the brand is more important than you think, because if you've got a legacy and you want to leave that behind and your personal brand doesn't marry with that, you're fighting against yourself. So building a personal brand, targeting the right audience. So what you'll realize is if you try to be liked by people, then you will be absolutely disliked by another group of people. And maybe the people you want to influence most with your legacy, with your work, are the ones that you're alienating because you've sought out being liked by the wrong group of people. So it's really important to recognize that you're going to be liked and disliked in your life. You're going to be accepted and rejected. And the most important thing is to say, who is it out there? Who is it out there that I want to influence most? And who do I say, bad luck, I wish I could influence you, but I know there's going to be a group of people who will polarize against me. Personal branding is about building a legacy in both personal and professional life. And that's a very important piece of awareness too. Before you start building a personal brand, you've got to also recognize that your brand in personal life and your brand in professional life can't be too far apart. Now, I used to, when I first started off professional speaking, have two websites. One was Inner Wealth, the book that I'd written and everything about that. The other one was called Chris Walker, Walker International. And they were absolutely two different websites because I did two groups of work. I did corporate work where I was talking to corporate buyers and corporate people who wanted me to do keynotes and presentations and tell the story and manipulate their staff. And then there was the personal stuff where I ran workshops on weekends and people really dug down below the surface of human consciousness, which is where corporate live above. And so there were these two contradictions. And the brand that I had for my retreats and the brand that I had for my corporate were completely two, there were two different people. It was like I was a schizophrenic or a bipolar individual. I wasn't. I was actually saying the same things in both environments, but my mask, my personal brand was different. And it didn't work. It didn't work because people migrated across and witnessed who I was personally, because they met me at these conferences and met me at these speaking engagements and met me in retreat. And then they also met me at corporate, and they met me at all these different places, and they really got to meet the real Chris. And so I had to, in the end, surrender and say, look, this is what I do, and I do it in these different environments. And to know what I did, I had to know my own values. So I think that's a really important aspect when you're talking about personal branding, to recognize that it is you. It is really you. Whether you're at the coffee shop on a Saturday morning with friends, or whether you're at work, this is you. This is the same you. And you can't personally brand yourself and go, look, I'm going to walk around a pair of dirty old shorts and a scruffy t-shirt on Saturday morning without shoes on, and then I'm going to put a pair of corporate shoes, stiletto shoes, a pair of Gucci suit, and parade around the office as if I'm, Maharaja or something, and then go back and walk in the dungarees and the beach. You can't, that binary professional versus personal discord, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. I think last but not least for this audio, I'd like to say that one of the single most important things in creating a personal brand is a vision board. And a lot of people hear this, and a lot of people hear this in the 30-day challenge, and they go, yeah, and they spend about 10 minutes creating a vision board, 10 minutes creating a vision board, and then it goes all moldy, and then they throw it out, and it's all done. A vision board is a working, living, breathing, growing reflection of your personal brand. It reflects where you're going. It reflects what you want to give. It reflects what you want to receive. It reflects what the legacy is. It reflects where you are right now. It reflects where you've been. It is a walking, living, breathing template. And I suggest very strongly that it needs to be up on a wall where you walk past frequently, and it frequently gets a picture added to it. It's not an internet slice and dice. I don't recommend doing it digitally. I recommend doing it physically, so that you actually get to see and witness and feel in a tactile way your personal brand up on a wall, and remind yourself frequently to walk your talk, live that brand. And the truth will be known at the end of this particular audio. I will say this quite surprisingly: nobody walks their talk. We only limp our lives. But the most important thing is we're trying to walk our talk. We're doing our best. We know what our talk is, and we're working very hard to walk it. But the truth will be, we only limp our lives. We struggle to walk our talk. There's nobody gets it 100% right. That's because we are human and we have emotions, feelings, and other people to involve in our branding. This is Chris. Enough for now. I'll speak about this tomorrow again.